Ask No Mercy by Martin Østerdal. Translated by Peter Sean Vultemont. Performed by James Patrick Cronin. A black Mercedes followed her all the way from the gates of the university to the Gribayedov Canal. The car was still behind her when she turned on to Nevsky Prospect. Max had always told her to have eyes in the back of her head when she walked alone in the dark, but she didn't want to arouse suspicion by looking back. She didn't want her pursuer to know she was on to him. She walked fast as she could without running. She pressed the envelope containing the book hard against her body, under her coat. She had to keep it from falling into the wrong hands. When she reached the subway station at Gostiny Dvor, she hurried toward the platform, tried to disappear among all the people. At Mayakovskaya, she changed to a red line train. By the time she reached the Finland station, she could feel the sweat running down her spine. She sighed with relief when she got off the subway car and saw the train that would take her out of the city standing across the platform. As soon as she boarded the train, it departed. It was not until it rolled out of the city on its way to the suburbs that she let herself relax. Many trains left the station every hour. It was unlikely, she thought, that her pursuer would have been able to track her through the crowds as she changed subway lines. Perhaps she'd imagined everything, let herself be influenced by the journalist's warnings. Drop this. Don't get too close to that company. But she couldn't drop it. When she stepped off the train 40 minutes later, the first thing she saw was the Mercedes. She tried to keep from panicking and walked away from the platform as fast as she could, took out the envelope, scribbled the address on it, and dropped it into one of the station's mailboxes. When she closed her eyes for a moment, she saw Max. I was planning to explain everything. I hope you'll understand anyway. As the house came into view, she started to run. The dark street was empty. Perhaps she'd managed to shake off her pursuer after all. But then the Mercedes rolled around the corner she was approaching and the car's high beams blinded her. She was very close to her front door, but she couldn't lead the car to her home. There was far too much material there that was linked to her research that could lead people to her colleagues. She opened her bag and closed her hand around her cell phone. She could see nothing but a large, dark silhouette closing in on her. She heard the click of a car door opening, and then hard heels on the asphalt. The sound of a pistol round being chambered.